We are still in the season of the Epiphany, but as we shall see in the next few weeks, not very many, it is a season of mixed things. Soon we will be celebrating the last day of Christmas, the 40th day of Christmas, the purification of the Blessed Mother at the temple and the presentation of the baby Jesus in his own temple. But before that even, we will have already the season of Septuagesima. So we will have rejoicing and weeping, very much according to the reading of today, St. Paul's epistle. I will not comment on that. Of course, it is very typical St. Paul. He has the longest run-on sentences in the world and in the scripture. They're enough to drive you crazy, and they do. I love St. Paul, but he drives me nuts. So I won't even go there. But that reading obviously has not been heard or read by certain persons in Rome. To cleave to that which is good and stay away from that which is evil. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We shall not do it. There's somebody who keeps emailing me and telling me how horrible things are and wondering what I'm going to do. I usually don't answer even, but I'm not going to do anything different than I've done the rest of my life and the rest of my priesthood. I'm not going to change the Holy Catholic faith for the sake of some political group or other. And if they don't like it, they can go to St. Michael's or St. Thomas More, and they will be accepted freely. There, people receive communion in the hand at the Tridenty Mass. So that's all I have to say about that. I shall not do it, ever, at any Mass. In English, Spanish, Italian, or French, all of which I can do. Portuguese, too. So enough about St. Paul. God bless his soul. It's interesting that eventually he would have his head cut off. And of course, maybe that was in punishment of the long-running sentences that he wrote. Who knows? You know, nothing escapes God. And in a sense, also, nothing escapes me. So beware. Now, the principal thing that we have today, and it's very appropriate, is the magnificent gospel from that of St. John the Divine, the beloved disciple who was there. Tomorrow is the traditional feast of Our Lady of Prompt Succor. And this is the gospel for tomorrow, for the feast of Our Lady of Prompt Succor, the wedding feast at Cana. Because as you see here, the Blessed Mother gives prompt succor. She goes to the assistance of those who need it. Oftentimes coming to our assistance before we even know we need it, before we even ask it. Not that we should not ask, yes. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. But the Blessed Mother, the Mother of fair hope and fair love, always takes care of us, especially those of her children who love her and follow her. And so here we have a wedding feast at Cana. And there are many things here that are of great importance. I can't go over all of them. But the thing is that it is at a wedding feast. And remember what Venerable Lucia dos Santos said that the Blessed Mother told her, the last battle would be over the family. Isn't it so? Isn't it so? Those people in Rome didn't look at these Gospels either. And it is at a wedding feast that our Lord performs his first miracle, his first public miracle. I'm sure he performed thousands before then, but they were private, they were secret. They were only for St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother, and maybe one or two other individuals. But the first public miracle. And thus St. John ends this pericope. This is the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee at a wedding feast. And the church has always used this gospel as one of the sources of the fact that the holy sacrament of matrimony is indeed given to us by Christ. And it is a sacrament, one of the seven sacraments. And it is from this sacrament that spring forth children for the church. And of course, here in this shrine, we have had more and more and more children. There are, right now, four buns in the oven, if you get my drift. And then we had another, even though they're long distance, but they miss us and they want to come back. There was another baby born this week. So life is important here. It is primordial here. And of course, many are against me because I don't go with all these other ecumenical associations, but they believe in contraception. Why on earth would I go with somebody that believes in contraception? That is evil. That is a sin. That is contrary to life. Just as abortion is. I will have nothing to do with them. And so they stopped calling me, thank God. Because I'd rather be at peace. And if I tell them what I really think, they're not going to be at peace, I assure you. But the sacrament of matrimony, it is from that sacrament, properly undertaken and blessed with sincerity, with truthfulness, with fidelity, with exclusivity of one spouse for the other, man and woman, as God created it. It is that from which comes forth children. And of course, here we have many children. Some of them are sick today, but they're still here in spirit. And sometimes they drive me crazy when they cry and this and that and the other. But then I also think, thank you, Jesus, that we have new lives, that we have so many babies, so many little children. It is from the sacrament of matrimony. And interesting that that is the same gospel as Our Lady of From Succor tomorrow. Now, here, the Blessed Mother, before doing anything, she doesn't even ask Jesus. She knows they need it, and she tells them, do whatever he tells you. Those are the last spoken words in the gospel by the Blessed Mother. Do whatever he tells you. And then she tells Jesus they have no wine. That's all she needs to say. She doesn't say, would you make a miracle and do some wine for them, please? She didn't have to say that. He understood. Their hearts beat together, always, congruously. So he knew, and he knows all things. And she knows almost all things. Because she is not God. She is the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man, the Messiah. But she knows that he will answer her. And then his answer is very surprising. Now, the translations are very faulty. If you went back to the Aramaic and the Greek, I don't have it here today. I usually have it. Our Lord is basically telling her, whatever happens to me, happens to you. Are you ready to accept this? And of course, and then he says exactly that which St. John meant for him to say and for him to be understood in this, his gospel, the gospel of the passion, the gospel of the suffering of Christ. What I must suffer, you must suffer, woman. And he uses words that go back to the very beginning, to Genesis. I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed, he says to Satan. Her seed. Because there was no father of this earth, only God the Father. And so she understands well. It is the time after this miracle is made public. The Pharisees and the scribes are now knowing that this is the Messiah. though they deny it, but a lot of people deny the truth, even if it smacks them in the face. But what's more important, up to this moment, there was one person from whom it was hidden from the time that Adam and Eve fell, and the time that God cursed him and proclaimed the enmity between him and the mother of the Messiah. Up to this time, the devil thought he knew, and we shall see this in Lent, on the Mount, the temptation of Christ in the Mount, in the desert. But now he knows that this is indeed the Son of God. And it is the Blessed Mother that decides when he shall know and when the passion is going to start. What happens to me happens to thee, woman. And so we have all these wondrous mysteries. And it is all, as always, everything in our holy Catholic faith is joined together like the most precious Gothic cathedral, like the most precious Gothic rose window. All the intricacies is like lace. So too is the holy Catholic faith. That's why it's very important for us to know it. Because of some things that were going on, I have decided that in the near future, I'm going to begin having a very short column in the bulletin about each of the heresies that have hurt the church since the time of Christ. And so hopefully you will read them. If you don't, that's up to you. It's your choice, your fate. You're responsible. You have free will. If you want to go to heaven, great. If you want to go to hell, goodbye. Take a hike. It's up to you. But if you read them, you may learn something and see how very important every single facet of our faith is. And here we have the Mother of God telling him what to do. Whatsoever he tells you, do ye. And he immediately proceeds to turn about 30, 40 gallons of pure water into the best wine that has ever been tasted on this earth. I wish I could taste it too, but I won't. Maybe in heaven, in the heavenly banquet, he will give us some. After all, those are his words, his similes. The heavenly banquet, which we begin here today in the most holy sacrifice of the Mass. In addition, today is a very special day. Today, one of us who became a full member of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of Rome yesterday will receive her first Holy Communion within the church, Ludmila Busch. And so she will make her first communion today. What a wonderful thing. And then, of course, we will continue to grow and grow. And we will continue to have baptisms and weddings. And we have several coming up. I hope they will pay attention to what they're doing and pay attention to me and to the church and to God, because it's very important. And those of you who are already married, pay attention to what God says to you. But the Blessed Mother and our Lord chose this occasion, a wedding, for the first miracle and for the beginning of the turning of the hourglass whose sands mark the coming of the Passion of Christ, the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be worship, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.